Good evening, dear brothers and sisters, and very welcome to our evening service. It is indeed good to be in the house of the Lord this evening with you all. And as you would have heard, we are continuing in a series called Verse by Verse through Galatians. Thank you to Aksa for reading God's word, and also to Pastor Simon and the music team for helping us join our hearts and minds in worship. I also thank you for your prayers. They do really embolden me and encourage my heart. So our focus this evening, even though we started reading from the end of chapter 5, will be from chapter 6, verse 2 to 10 of Galatians. And we'll quickly note that it has a great deal to do with good works, helping one another in a loving way. And this is because the Apostle Paul found at the time of his writing of this epistle that the churches in Galatia were being influenced by false teaching to the effect that salvation could be earned through good deeds or through some form of human merit, whether it's some kind of moral or religious self-justification. It certainly was not, according to those false teachers, based on the work of Christ. So in addressing this issue, Paul made it clear that there is no such thing as salvation by works. We are not able to justify ourselves before God. And in Galatians 3, verse 26, Paul, in writing to the churches of Galatia, confirmed that believers, born-again Christians, are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And this he also confirmed in his other letters to other churches. We can look at Romans 10, verse 9, where Paul said that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. And in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, Paul mentions that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one may boast. So, as believers then, our belonging to God is clearly not premised on any works of ours. It is premised on our trust in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And I've noted in my life as a believer, thankfully, for the greater part, that there's quite a readiness to accept that our good works do not earn us salvation. Salvation does not come by any effort of us. It comes at the cost of Christ's death on the cross. There does, however, seem to be this question of good works and where it fits in to the life of a born-again Christian. Many people ask the question, well, if I have confessed belief in Christ Jesus and I have been saved, why do I need to then bother with doing good deeds? Well, it's because when we look at God's word, there are so many reasons for us to be well exercised in good deeds. And I'll ask that you grant me the opportunity to just share with you three reasons that I have found personally very compelling from God's word that we should be very exercised in good deeds. The first one being that, as Ephesians 2 verse 10 states, we were created in Jesus Christ for good works. So part of our purpose in this life is to do good works. And secondly, it pleases God for us to make sacrifices for the benefit of others. And this you'll find in Hebrews 13, verse 16, where it says that we should not forget to do good and communicate, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It is our privilege to know that we, human beings, can please God, and to know exactly how we can do that from studying his word. And thirdly, because it grows our confidence that we have indeed been saved and are God's children. When we do good works as a regular part of our life, then it serves as proof both to us and those around us that we have been redeemed and that we belong to God. I'll elaborate more on this point as we go forward in our consideration of this passage from Galatians 2, chapter 6, verse 2 to 10. For now, Let's just quickly look at James 2, verse 15 to 16, to just drill home this point about good works and its place in a believer's life. It reads, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" In other words, if we only do lip service to the idea of caring for someone else, then we lack in love, or at least in its practice. If we profess to know Christ the Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, who willingly lay down his life for us, wretched sinners, by the way, and we not care to sacrifice a moment of our time to give of what God has given us, whether it be something from our pantries, whether it be something from our cupboards, or whatever else the need may be, then certainly there's something amiss with that picture. How do we who profess to be God's children, a merciful, kind, loving God, and at the same time act so distant and hard towards those around us at times? And in many ways, you can then have sympathy then and understand a just Lord, Christ Jesus, and his words in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And those words should pierce our hearts with fear. Such a great love has been lavished on us. How then can we not have that love then spill out in good deeds towards our fellow man or woman? Brothers and sisters, good works represent the livelihood of our faith, the very proof of its existence. As James 2, verse 26 says, "As the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." How does the vital signs of our faith look tonight? So, having considered the place of good works in general, we see that it does not earn our salvation, but it certainly flows from being saved. Let us now turn to consider Galatians chapter 6, from verse 2 to 10, verse by verse. And verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The word burden in the original Greek is baros, meaning heaviness, weight, trouble. It follows then that we are to be considerate of those around us and a weight that might be upon their shoulders. It's important for us as born-again Christians to move away from a self-centered life orientation to one where we're looking at the needs of others. One encouragement we can find as well for this is Romans 15, verses 1, which says that we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We are encouraged to live our lives with a focus on pleasing God and not ourselves. And admittedly, this is not an easy thing to do. However, we must always remember that we have a holy God who is able to both help us to will and to do so. Christ's law is the golden standard of behavior, the highest, noblest norm that the Lord requires of us. And if we profess to believe in Christ, agreeing that he is equal with God, the God of the universe, and if we have accepted his sacrifice, the death on the cross, the only sacrifice capable of atoning for all our sins, the world's sins, then surely we ought to and will make it a top priority of ours to fulfill the fundamental command set out in John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Brothers and sisters, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's glory. Yet, by God's grace amongst us, we have such wonderful, selfless, servant-hearted individuals giving of their very best to their Lord and Savior, following His example, obeying His commands to love and care for others. And I'm sure that even those individuals will agree with what I'm about to say, that even so, there is still more room for mercy, grace, and love in this church, community, this island, and the world. Of course it's so. And we can pursue it through loving kindness, charity, and exhortation. How have we been running this race of late? Any new personal bests? Let not this day go by with the following words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John 14:21 sinking in to our hearts and minds. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If we want to know whether someone loves God and has the love of God in them, then we simply need to see whether or not they obey God's commands. Looking at our levels of obedience each day, we reflect ourselves personally. Can we confidently say that we desire the love of the Father and the Son? Throughout the course of this past week, how much do we long to meet with the one who gave up his life for us? How many of us actively sought the Lord this week? Not only what he provides, but his very presence. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The command to love others and do good applies to all, each and every one of us. As considered a moment ago, a born-again Christian actively sets aside self-centeredness and attends more readily to the needs of others. If we were to focus our attention again on ourselves, our family names, our occupations, or whatever other status we could even imagine, we so easily fall into the temptation of thinking that any kind of service is perhaps beneath us or inconvenient, less important to the very important things we have on our already long and busy schedules. And this, of course, will hamper our desire to bear the burdens of others and fulfill Christ's law through loving them as he loved us. And we also cannot consider any kind of higher station, whether that's a leadership role in the church or in politics or in business, as a platform for us then to promote ourselves. Because again, we are not engaging in good works to boast in ourselves, to draw attention to ourselves, because we are not seeking to earn anything by it. But it is out of a grateful and obedient heart that we respond in such way to what God has already done for us and for which he is equipping us. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. This is to remind us that whenever we do give, we must always remember that we give of what we've received from God. We love because he first loved us. Verses 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, brothers and sisters, I suggested earlier that one of the reasons to do good works, as found in God's word, is that to prove or to help us be confident that our faith is alive. If someone asks whether we are Christians, how will we show that to them? What will we do to prove it to them? What can we point them to? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says this, Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Let us take a moment to sincerely examine ourselves and reflect on whether we are certain that we are in the faith and that Christ is in us. Is there evidence of the Holy Spirit within us? Praise the Lord. Can we point to the fruit of the Spirit in each of us? Praise the Lord if it be so. But again, we can say yes to all these and praise the Lord for that. There's yet always room for greater evidence of that in our lives and for an even greater experience of God in this world. I'm just thinking of Pastor Simon and the message to be the light that shines and this example of being Christ to others by showing them the love that we've received, the truth that we cling to. We'll also do well to avoid comparing ourselves to others. Each person has his or her own walk, and God gives to each what he in his righteous judgment determines. He looks at each and every individual's heart, and he knows each thought and intention. We only see in part. So we do well then not to deal with anyone without grace and humility. Or to put it more actively, we should deal with one another with grace and humility. Not looking down on one another, but acknowledging that we are together in this battle against the forces of sin and evil. One of my wife's favorite verses is Micah 6 verse 8. And it reminds us that he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let each of us do all the good we can do in obedience to God, trusting that he will do what he has promised. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I ask you to grant me a moment to share with you a little anecdote from times gone by between a pastor and one of his church members. And I say days gone by because it involves a horse as a means of transport, so you get where I'm going. So this pastor was a bit ragged. He didn't have much of the world's goods, and he wasn't in the best of health. But he had this wonderful horse, and his horse was magnificent. Beautiful, sleek, by all means well-kept. So one day, he had this member of his church come up to him on a Sunday, I presume, and asked him, "Pastor, why is it that you look so ragged and your horse looks so good?" And he said bluntly unto the member of his church, "It's because I look after the horse. You look after me." I share that for a bit of humor, but the point I want to make is that when we consider who first shared the gospel with us, and we consider how much that actually has been to our benefit, how much that has availed to us, when we read verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6, we then realize it's not just about considering that and appreciating that. Verse 6, the word communicate in the Greek is koinonio, and it means to come into communion or fellowship with, to join as an associate or partner. Have we all partnered in the work of this church? Where can each of us get involved and further the learning in, the obedience towards, and the praise of God in this community? When we consider the good that we can do, let us also remember that we don't need to overcomplicate things. We don't need to look far afield. We can just look here and now, around us. Every bit helps. And where it's done with love and from an attitude of obedience, And out of gratefulness to God, it will be blessed and it would be appreciated. So, it's always good to remember that even the small things matter and is acknowledged. Verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is true in respect not only in what we sow, but also in how much we sow. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 provides, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The NIV translation of Romans 2 verse 6 to 10 says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So brothers and sisters, we must ask ourselves then, do we want to obey God and receive his reward, or do we want to take a chance with his wrath? We are not forced either way, but we are solely accountable for our choices, and we are aware of their consequences. We know that God is good and just. If he has promised us something, then we can rest assured it will be fulfilled. So if God's word says that each of one of us will be judged on what we have done in this life, then he will do it. There will be a judgment day. If God says that those who love him and obey him will receive eternal life, then he can, and he certainly will. The same is obviously true for those who do evil deeds. They will be punished for it. For them, there will be trouble and distress. God cannot be mocked. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. There is no hiding from him. Would we then rather not be exercised in the good works, fulfilling Christ's law, loving one another, so that we can boldly appear before him in that day, knowing that the work of the cross has firmly engrossed us. It has changed us forever and freely justified us. Verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now we come to the crux of this passage. Let us not be weary. Let us not forget. And let us not stop doing good works, especially unto those who are our brothers and sisters in the faith. God will honor his promises. He's not a man that he should lie. Let us then do good works, because we are created in Jesus Christ for good works, because it pleases God if we make sacrifices for the benefit of others, and because it grows our confidence that we are his. That our salvation is true. And again, I qualify that to say we do not earn salvation through good works, but it's certainly seen after salvation in the life of a Christian as the proof of its life. And in closing, I would like us to consider 1 John 3, verse 14 to 19. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his love for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso have this world's good, and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. May the Lord God bless our time together. Amen.